Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The teachings of Jesus Christ in his 3 short years of ministry changed the world, and today they can change your life. Why don't you take time to stay with us as we consider the parables of Jesus Christ next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapman. Though the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ lasted just 3 short years, the things he said, the principles he taught, the parables that he shared during those years literally changed the course of human history. And those teachings can change your life today through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Welcome to this program, Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our present series is entitled Consider the Parables of Christ. During each and every step of this journey, we're going to consider afresh and anew the teachings of Jesus and how they apply to our lives today. Before we join today's message, don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to recent broadcasts, Dr. Chapel's daily devotional, and many other resources that will help you in your spiritual growth, in addition to this radio program. Today, we're going to consider his warning. Our text, Matthew chapter 13. Here's Paul Chapel.
The field is the world. Now, Jesus owns the field. I mean, he's got the whole world in his hand. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. I mean, he flung the Grand Canyon into existence and threw the stars into space. And I'm simply saying this old world was created by Almighty God. Colossians 1:15, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And this world is a field of souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his field, and it is his creation. And my friend, Jesus Christ loves every person that has ever been born and living on this planet called his field. He loves the people of this world, the field of the sower. But notice next, the seed of the sower. Verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. We said that a little while ago. The seed, speaking here in verse 38, are the good seed. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Speaking of the redeemed, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in this world, God has kept his people. Now, it could have been that God, upon your salvation and mine, he could have instantaneously called us home to be with him. And that would have been just fine. But God has a purpose in keeping us here. And the fact of the matter is that you and I, as his children, are called his seed in this world. 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, what a blessing to know that when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you became one of his children and you are his seed here in this world. And we are to be bearing fruit as his seed in this world. Do you realize God has a reason for having you here on this planet? Sometimes I'll speak to some of our senior saints in our church, and maybe in a moment when they're a little melancholy, and I don't blame them for being that way, but maybe a widower of our church who's lonely and going through a tough time, they have said to me many times, sometimes I wonder why God has left me on this planet. And I want to tell you something. I don't criticize someone for having that thought from time to time, but I want you to know without any exception, God has left you on this planet for a purpose, and you are His seed, and as long as you have breath, it is the will of God that you bear fruit for your God. He has you here for a reason. God has left us here. We are His seed, and He has sown us here, and He has a will for us here. Now notice then next the enemies of the sower. Verse 38, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the, what's the next word say? Wicked one. The wicked one. Now people want to make fun of that thought, the wicked one. Men place tattoos on their bodies of devils and demons and skulls and bones, and certainly a Christian should not mark the temple of God, but those who think it's such a funny thing to mock about demons and dungeons and dragons and all of the rest of it need to recognize there is such a thing as a wicked one who hates you and desires your soul to be damned for all of eternity. He loves it when you get familiar with Him and His paraphernalia, His artwork, and His styles. He wants you to be comfortable with His wickedness. But from the perspective of Jesus, it's diametrically opposed to His will for your life. And according to verse number 38, as we consider the topic here of the tares being sown of the wicked one, Satan deliberately and with stealth-like behavior has planted around the world tares amongst the wheat. The children of the wicked one have been in times and places planted, and without the help of the Holy Spirit, and without the reading and teaching of the Word of God, and without the impartation of the Holy Spirit, then the tares can only produce more tares. For the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the prince of the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, which now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, a tare can only reproduce a tear, and the devil is placing them around the world, sometimes with the wheat, in order that they might do their work. But notice not only the tares, but notice the enemy is further defined, and the Bible speaks of this in verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Now, wherever God has sown His children and His truth, the devil comes along and throws some of his seed in too. And there was a man in the Bible by the name of Abel, and he came to God Almighty with an acceptable blood sacrifice. And along came his brother Cain, and he had a sacrifice that was not acceptable to God. It was not the blood sacrifice. God had His wheat, and the devil had his tares, and God has His true apostles, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, Ephesians 4:11 and 12. But Satan has his counterfeits. Some of you are newer in the Lord. I'm not trying to be critical this morning or harsh. But the fact of the matter is, not every place that has a podium or a cross out front is preaching the true and powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. And not everyone on the television or radio is a true teacher or preacher of the Word of God. And God's Word would give a man discernment if he would read it. And God's Word would help us to have a light to shine in the darkness of this day if we would let it shine. 2 Corinthians 11, what a startling passage in your notes this morning. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Look at right here. Sometimes people say, oh, Pastor Chapel, I was in the hospital, real, real sick, and all of a sudden a warm, fuzzy feeling came over me, and there was a light at the end of the bed, and I just know that it was God. No, you don't. It could have been the devil. It could have been Valium. It could have been morphine. It could have been the midnight nurse. You don't know that it was God unless it was biblical. You see, we live in a day when there will be those who will transform themselves. And therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. I'm just simply saying, God sows his wheat, but the devil sows his tares. God gives the true gospel. Satan gives a false gospel, 2 John and verse 7. And on the story goes, the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the tares. Now, notice not only the enemies of the sower, but if you will, let's come to the harvest of the sower this morning. Notice, please, verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Oh boy. Now I know some of you are going to go to the hometown buffet and you're going to sit down by some folk and they're going to say, and you're going to say to them, what did you learn about in church today? They're going to say, oh, love and mercy and music and environmentalism. It's wonderful. They're going to say to you, what did you learn about? You're going to say, the end of the world and hell and burning up stuff. And so say, are you a Baptist? You're always preaching about it. I think we're just trying to preach the Bible this morning, folks. I think it just says right there, the end of the world. I don't want to pop your bubble, but this world's not my home. I mean, the fact of the matter is, folks, the word world there is speaking of the age in which we live. Call it the church age. Call it the kingdom of God. Call it what you want. It's going to come to an end. And I don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable, but I don't like going to the doctor and I've got something wrong with me and saying, Doc, how am I doing? He says, just A-OK. There's something wrong I need to know. The truth is that this world is coming to an end. Now, the harvest of the sower, the Bible says, is the end of the world. Now, usually when I think of harvest, I have good feelings. I mean, I love the harvest season. I love the country harvest days at our church in October. I love to go back to the farm in Colorado. I work there every summer bringing in the harvest field and the harvest of the beans and the wheat. And I love the harvest. I love the combines. I love seeing the wheat come in. I love, my job normally was to drive the truck up next to the combine and take it down to the warehouse and get it weighed and delivered in. That's an exciting time for the farmer. But come back to this outline and notice that the harvest here in the Word of God is the end of the world, you see. And notice what it says there in verse number 39. The harvest is the end of the world and the reapers are the angels. Isn't that strange? Notice, if you would, in Revelation 14:14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now this passage refers not to the saved. It refers to the unsaved. It refers to the angels coming during the tribulation period in a time of judgment and reaping the tares and reaping the unbelievers and bringing them out separately from those who had already gone before in the rapture. And here we see in the Word of God a harvest of judgment. And we understand from the text that the tares will be taken in verse 42 to a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You listen to me. Some of you have friends that say, I just want to go to hell where my friends are. I want to tell you, underneath the calloused heart that says that, the fact of the matter is, I say to the strongest man, the most tattooed man, the most inebriated man that would ever stand and say he wants to go to hell where his friends are, it will take one split second in hell before he wished he would have turned to Jesus Christ as his Savior. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and fire burning forever and ever. Oh, the Bible speaks of it, Revelation 20 and verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, I can't allegorize it. I can't make it into just a nice little story or the fiction of our imagination. God speaks of it as weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and a lake of fire. And God says in the last time, at the end of the world, there's going to be a judgment. And those who are the tares of the ones who were there with the wheat in church, and when the wind blew, they looked just like believers. And when folks came in, they came in just like others. And they were right there amidst the wheat, but somehow they never truly understood. Somehow they never repented and turned to Jesus Christ. And though they maybe had a church membership, and though they maybe had been baptized, yet they'll find in the last day that they were tares all the time, and they will spend eternity without Jesus Christ. What a tragic thought. Say, well, I just don't see how that could happen. How could it happen? I don't understand it myself. I don't understand how Judas Iscariot could have been a member of the First Baptist Church of Jesus Christ, and yet he never trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. I don't understand that myself. But it's a good case to understand that if someone who had Jesus as their teacher could have never repented and turned to Christ, I suppose 1/12 of the membership today could take a look into their own heart, the harvest of judgment. But then there will be a harvest of blessing. And I want you to notice this, if you would, verse 43 of our text, Matthew 13, 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I like that word, then. Man, that other stuff was hard. And the judgment of God. But then after that, the Bible says, the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Oh, what a millennial kingdom that will be, and what a great eternal kingdom that will be as well. The wheat will enter into the Father's house, and the wheat will be there secure and safe with the Father. Oh, Revelation 21 speaks of it, and verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. My friend, I want you to know this morning, heaven is a place. Heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is an incorruptible place. It's an undefiled place. It's the place where Jesus Christ, the eternal light of the world, exists. It's a place where God will wipe away all tears, and there'll be no pain, and there'll be no sorrow, and we'll be there with our loved ones and believers throughout all the ages, and those who are the weak, I mean those who have truly been born again, I mean those who weren't trusting in church membership or baptism or good works, but those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb will forever and ever shine as the sun of righteousness and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved this morning? Are you heaven bound this morning? Oh, what an important warning we have here. The parable announced, the parable assessed, finally the parable applied. The parable applied. I speak first to the saved. The waiting of the saved is mentioned in verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So oftentimes, God reminds us as the saved to be patient. Sometimes on this earth, we don't shine like we would or could. Sometimes we have trials that we don't necessarily want and difficulties that we would never have chosen for ourselves. But I want you to know there's coming a day when God will make all things right, and when you'll be shining once again, and the dark cloud will be removed and the difficulty will be removed. I just want to encourage you to wait, my friend, on the Lord. Be of good courage this morning. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. We have so many Christians today. That's their mantra. They don't go around passing tracts. They don't go around counseling unwed mothers. They don't go around trying to help people get off drugs or help people come to know Christ as Savior. They go around avenging themselves. Well, I was wronged, and I'll write you a letter about it, and I'll put it on the internet, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And I believe the Bible speaks to the day when it says, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, my friend, do you understand that the Bible is teaching us clearly that there will come a judgment day, and God will make all the wrongs right. And God will settle who's saved and who's not saved. And you don't have to try to determine it for him. And there's coming a day when he will settle it. And I don't know what your trial is right now, but if you'll be faithful to God, the trial of your faith will be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. And your testimony will shine and bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. My friend, be faithful to God. Let God lift your burden today. The waiting of the saved is seen. But notice the warning to the unsaved in verse 43. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Would you say it with me this morning? Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm talking to the tares now. I don't know who you are. One evangelist said, if you're 99% sure you're on your way to heaven, you're 100% lost. The Bible says we can know. I don't know who those are in this room who don't know. But here's a warning. If you have ears to hear, let them hear. Jesus is warning you. And there will be those, 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, who will be scoffers. Ah, Jesus is going to come. Right, Mr. Preacher. They've been saying that for 2,000 years. And I remind you that 1,000 years in the biblical chronology of things is as one day with Almighty God. You see, my friend, it's been 2 days since Jesus said, I will come again. He will come again. Don't scoff it. Don't mock it. Don't be willfully ignorant of what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you right now, and what He has been telling you through the Word of God this morning is that it is only by Jesus Christ that you can become wheat and enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's only by His blood. It's only by His forgiveness. And Jesus Christ says, would you hear this? By His mercy, the invitation is still open for you to come and to trust Christ as Savior and let Him plant you in this world as wheat and not as a tare. I said earlier, I love the harvest time. I love to see the combines as they turn the key and the old diesel smoke begins to billow in the air and they head out to the wheat fields. And I think about the combine as that old header comes down, and sometimes if it's a windrow of pinto beans or something, it'll come down low and it'll bring those beans up across the cutting bar, and they'll begin to sort back and forth. That old auger will begin to turn, and there's finely placed holes throughout the auger, and that wheat will come up. The crop will come up into that combine, and now the cutting knives are going back and forth, and the auger's beginning to turn, and now those that wheat is coming down into the sieves there, and they're now placing the crop very carefully as it's being sorted from the chaff and sorted from the tares and sorted from the weeds. And if you follow what's taking place, all of the wheat is being separated and now placed into its proper bin so that when the truck pulls up next door, they can put the wheat out into the truck and take it on to the farmer's barn and the farmer's house. But now the weeds and the tare, what's going to happen with them? Well, they're going to be shuffled onto the back, and they're going to be sprayed out by a fanning process, and they're going to be laid out like trash, sometimes to be burned, sometimes to be made into manure, a mesh and fertilizer, and discarded completely. And I want you to understand something. Even as that old combine somehow scientifically has been made to decipher the difference between wheat and weeds and between wheat and chaff, so Almighty God has the knowledge to know the heart and soul of every man here. And at the end of the age, there will be a judgment of your heart and of your soul. And only God Almighty knows. But I say to you, at the great white throne judgment, He will say to millions of people, depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you. I never knew you. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Perhaps you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Wheat or tares? Going to the Father's house or going to be burned? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you know today that heaven is your home?
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. And I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and that Jesus Christ is in your life, I want to encourage you to visit us online or to call us toll-free and let us talk with you about that. We would be happy to help you understand more clearly what it means to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Not only can you find out more information about salvation, but there's a lot of resources on our website that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, links to recent broadcasts that perhaps you missed, also a way to subscribe to the podcast of Daily in the Word so you can take this program with you on your iPod or on your computer to listen to at your convenience. This and many, many more resources are available at dailyintheword.org. newpublications.org. I want to encourage you to be sure to check out the link about New Publications resources. You'll see the photo there on the homepage. There's a link to Dr. Chappell's new book. Mrs. Chappell has written a new book entitled The Choice Is Yours, and many other resources that we know will encourage you in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this again at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you. Toll free 1-800-201-7748, or write to us. Send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.